Hey guys, welcome to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. You guys are gonna shit when I tell you who my next guest is. Not only is he a male and the second male to grace In Your Head podcast, but this guy is beyond fucking fabulous. He is beautiful. He is stylish. He is creative. He is the one and only celebrity stylist, Salvador Camarena.
Oh my God. Hi. Second male. What an honor.
Thank you for coming on, my love. How are you?
Good. I'm good. You know, working through shit.
Did I fuck up your last name?
No, it's fine.
Okay, perfect.
Perfect. Good.
So tell me what you've been up to. Tell me what's going on. Tell the audience who you are, as if they don't already know who you are. But I want to remind them of who you are, what you represent, what you do, and what you are all about.
Okay, so I am a wardrobe stylist by trade. Uh-huh. So I've done anything on like a red carpet that you've seen, like from the Emmys, the Oscars. I actually have done a couple seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, which is great.
Uh-huh.
And I also dabble. I dabble in the interior design pool, too. I just love being creative. I love expressing myself that way. I've always been that kind of kid. Yeah, that's who I am in a nutshell.
You guys can't see this. I got to start recording these live and putting them on YouTube so you can see what I'm messing with here. I am at his place. We were going to do this somewhere completely different, but he decided to do it at his place. And it is beyond fucking stylish, you guys. I walked into a whole different dimension here. It is beyond unique. It is you, basically.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it here. It's so cute. So you just dabble in interior design. You don't really do it because this looks amazing, believe it or not.
Well, I did. I've done it for like the Modernism Week show house in Palm Springs. No big deal with like other major designers. I'm like, okay, I'll do that.
Uh-huh.
Which is funny. I designed a room based off of Beyonce's Lemonade.
Okay.
That I call it the Bed Bath and Beyonce because it was a pool room. And it got so much press and traction off of it, which was great because I love mixing with anything creative I do. I love mixing like pop culture references to anything I do.
So how did this start? Were you always like this? Let's back up here.
Okay.
Let's give everybody a glimpse of who you are at a young age. Was this always in Salvador's blood to be so stylish?
I think so. I think I just had, so my mom was very, you know, born in a Mexican-American family. My mom was a homemaker, but she would always say bueno, bonito, barato, which means good, cheap, and inexpensive, you know, good quality and like inexpensive things. And I think I just kind of picked it up naturally. I have three older brothers. One's an architect, so he does have an eye.
Mm-hmm.
The other two a little bit more mechanical and spatial, which I think is my dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a little gay boy, my mom had, you know, the toilet seat cover that was like fluffy pink. I was always fascinated on how like a woman could transform themselves into this like housewife. And then she's going out on a date with my dad in a fur fur coat. And then like, the older I got, I would literally go out. We would go to Sears.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I would watch red carpets when I was like 7 to 10.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, Mom, you should buy this gown because it's like what Julia Roberts wore at the Oscars. Like, I don't know how I picked that up.
So it's always been in you.
Yeah.
Now, you brought it up first, and I'm gonna jump on this.
Go ahead.
So you have been gay your entire life.
Yes.
Okay, because I get asked all the time, were you psychic your entire life, or did you fall and bump your head?
Right.
You didn't fall and bump your head, you were born this way.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. I mean, as a little boy on the playground, I would like try to make out with boys.
Okay, yeah. So then we're right up each other's alley, because I was the same way. But growing up, was that accepted in your family? Did your mom know you were gay the whole time, or?
I think all moms know, but I don't think it was ever like spoken until like I was probably in my early 20s in college and just like coming home from like bars and like the weekends, and she's like, what are you doing? And then I just, you know, finally came out to her in like my probably mid-20s.
How was it received?
My dad, because he's a little bit more worldly out in the world, he was like, we still love him, he's our son. My mom, of course, went through the Hispanic panic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because what they see in, like, the media back then from our culture, like, watching Cristina or the talk shows was just, like, really, like, outrageous gay men or women.
And all the horrible shit that comes along
with
it. Yeah, I got that, too. Yeah. So, styling at a young age, is this something that you, again, you started watching your mom style herself or doing things around the house, and you had a flair for it, or you had an eye for it. Did this lead you down the path? Is this something that you knew you were always going to do?
I didn't know being a stylist was a job.
Okay.
But I'm just like, what's the closest I could get to that was working retail, right? So I slowly worked myself up. Like, I worked at retail. I literally, in high school, sold back massagers.
Oh my god.
Okay, at, like, okay. You know those stores that sell gadgets? Uh-huh. I literally sold back massagers, and I was just like, my boss loved me. They're like, you're so charming. And then older gay men would come up to me and they're like, I'll get a massage from you. I'm like, I think they're hitting on, I don't know, I'm like 17 and in high school. I didn't know what was going on.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Indio, California.
Okay, okay. So right down the street.
Yeah,
okay.
Indio, California, which is like 30 minutes east of Palm Springs.
Okay.
So I literally worked in the mall, and I was just like, they would always, they're like, put Sal up front because people love him. And I'm just like, I'm like, oh my God, I think these like men are hitting on me.
So you didn't know, when you found out this was the job and so something that you can do, were you like, I'm fucking going for it. This is what I want.
Okay, so long story, a little shorter. Uh-huh. I had met this boy. And I moved, believe it or not, I don't think I've ever told this story. I had met this boy, and I moved to Omaha, Nebraska. I was working like at Saks Fifth Avenue. And I was like, this was like the height of the Abercrombie days where like blonde hair, blue eyes. I was like, I'm so into it. And they're wearing flip-flops and the whole thing. Uh-huh. I met him. He was in Palm Springs for a week. And we had this like love of like romance. Mm-hmm. And he would just come back. And he's like, I'm going to LA. Came to see you. I'm like, holy shit, this is really happening, right? Mm-hmm. So he came back. I left my job at Saks Fifth Avenue and I moved to Omaha, Nebraska. I drove cross country with my dad because he was so supportive. And he goes, have a great life. You're going to school out there. Build whatever you want
to
build.
All the way to Omaha, Nebraska?
Yeah. And I think to myself, I'm like, what the fuck was I doing in Omaha, Nebraska?
Well, what's that like?
Oh my God. It was weird because all those kids in that college had this perception of what kids in California were like.
Okay, okay. So were you the big bitch on the campus?
Did no.
you get a lot of attention because you were from LA and they knew that?
Well, I kind of, I'm outspoken, so I kind of like the first day of orientation, they're just like, yeah, it's so California. I go, I'm from California. We don't really do that.
Oh, so you went over there schooling bitches then. Okay, okay.
I'm like, we don't really do that. Uh-huh. And I was just like, oh. And I was like, I'm excited. I'm in a big campus, University of Nebraska, Omaha, which is big and beautiful. Uh-huh. And then I literally left, kind of did that, like that Madonna, you know how she left to New York City with like just cash?
Yeah.
That's what I did. I left my job at, great job at Saks Fifth Avenue. I left it and just left the cash and I'm like, I'm going to build something. And then I found out what the downfall was. I was just like, I'm going to go. He doesn't want to go out with me because I was living with the guy. Mm-hmm. And I was
with
like,
the guy that you went?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
I found that he was cheating on me.
Oh.
Yeah, so I found that he was cheating on me, and very like Carrie Bradshaw, I literally just left a note one day on his piano, and I'm just like, I'm out. And I drove back across country back to Indio.
How long were you there for?
A month. And it's funny, it snowed the whole time I was there, the day I was leaving, full sun.
Oh, so that was your sign then. It's time to pack it up and go home.
Yeah, I was just like, I literally just left a note and said, bye.
Well, I'm old. We know that. So back in the day when we would travel and go out of state, Nebraska probably would have been a place that we would have traveled to. Being from LA, you obviously have the upper hand because you're new meat, you're fresh meat out there.
Right.
What was the dating scene like out there? Because you always have to, I know this is going to sound shitty, but whenever you're traveling out of town, you always got to lower your standards just a little bit.
Right.
Did you find that to be true when you got there? You were like, this is a complete mess, like with the gay scene out there? Or
no, I was open to anybody because they had like gay choir and he had friends and I didn't know he was, like, cheating on me at the time. So I was just like, oh, this is fun. Like, people have, like, a community here. Mm-hmm. It might not be great or big or, you know. But I just love, like, people, you know. So he's like, I don't want to go out. And then I think he got a little bit competitive with me because he's like, I take my shirt off and dance something. And he dances on some box or, like, has a good time. And he's like, I don't want to go out with you. And I'm like, all right, I'll go. And, you know, I went out a couple times. It was fine. It was fun.
So just a month out there and then headed back to LA.
Yeah.
So that was the end of the relationship, obviously.
Yes.
Have you seen him since then?
On Facebook. He's married now.
With a woman?
I'm still single. No, with a man.
And you're single?
Yes.
God, you keep opening these doors and I'm going to walk right through them. I know that you are newly single though, right?
Yes.
Well, how long has it been?
It's been 6 months now.
Okay. Can we talk about that?
Sure, totally.
So tell me a little bit about this. Let's back up because I know your ex.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows your ex.
Right.
What happened?
I think we just grew... Oh, sorry. I almost like gave oral to your microphone.
It's used to it.
I think we just grew apart. Like we're a year and a half older. Okay. Like we have a year and a half difference in age between the both of us. And when
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I first moved to LA... I had met him like 3 months after I had just moved to LA. And, you know, you're a different person from when you're 27 to 37. Uh-huh. And this vice versa for him, too, you know? And I think you just kind of just like grow apart. I know we'll always be in each other's lives, which is great. Like, I send them funny memes and texts and vice versa all the
time.
So
it's still cordial between the two
totally.
Of you.
Totally. I go, I'm coming to the drag brunch and I'm bringing a friend. I might bring a date or like, no, totally. Yeah.
That's cool. So no hard feelings then.
No, not at all.
And is he supportive of you now and what you do now? Do you guys have that type of relationship? Or is he very kind of like...
He's just like, I'm proud of you. I'm like, oh, thanks, it's nice to hear. He goes, he just finished a project, I almost spilled it. And I go, congrats, it's a big deal. So both of us are very
You guys broke up, was that hard for you though? Like, I mean how long was it? 10 years?
It was 10 years. It was almost it was like 2 months shy of a decade.
Oh my god, that must have been difficult.
It was hard. It was hard for me because I was operating as in, like, everyday life. I went to work, I went to spin class, and I came home, and then I'm like, what just happened?
So out of nowhere?
Or
it obviously led up to it, but kind of like you didn't think it was really going to happen until it actually happened?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just like, no, I didn't, actually, because I've also, for the past 2 years leading up to that, I had dealt with a lot of grief, like, the passing of our dogs in the same year, my mom. And then right when we broke up too, a week later, my friend Jonathan, who's a designer, Mr. Turk, he passed away. We actually shared the same birthday. So like, honestly, Chris, for the past 2 years, and then now the end of this relationship, that's been a decade of my life. So I've dealt with a lot of grief that people don't know that has led up to that. I'm like, Jesus, how much more can I take?
I know that story all too fucking well. Let me back up personally here. I, first and foremost, have to give it up to you because I am a fan, first and foremost, of both of you guys. I actually read Ross on Hollywood Today Live.
Right.
And it was so weird because I always tell people about this. I had such a horrible migraine the day of the recording of that show that I didn't want to go on, but I had to go on and do it anyway. So I didn't, functioning at 100% Chris mentality.
Right.
I was held back a little bit, but I've always followed you guys and liked you. I've always reached out to you personally, and whenever you post stuff, I would comment on your things.
Right.
So when this came out that you guys were breaking up, I was like, what the fuck? It's kind of like watching two of your idols break up. You're kind of like, what the fuck?
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for that.
Thank you.
But this also shapes you up to who you are now and where you're going, because now it's all about you. It's your individuality. It's what Salvador brings to the table. Now, there is no co-pilot. There's nobody riding shotgun with you. It's all you and what you make of it now.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
I feel really excited about crafting my own life. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell my friend, my best friend, Carlos. We actually talked about this yesterday over two glasses of wine. I go, the most exciting part is like, oh my God, I feel like a toddler crawling again, but it, like, I have the choice for myself to craft my own life. And I think that's really exciting.
What's coming up for you?
Well, I'm currently co-host on a podcast with Brandy Glanville called Unfiltered.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're doing DragCon.
The two of you guys together?
Yes. We're doing a live show and we're going to have some special guests. Surprise.
Oh my God. When is this?
It's May 25th. We're going to be there Saturday, May 25th.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
And then we're going to do a 2-hour signing afterwards. So there might be some wine involved.
So congratulations on that. Yeah. Tell me about you and Brandy. How did that come into play?
Oh my God. So this is, talk about like manifesting shit. So years ago, probably about 6 to 7 years ago, I was watching Housewives. And I saw her and I go, that's the most authentic thing I've seen on TV. One of her first scenes was like, she broke her ankle and she showed up with a crutch. And I go, she's not trying to impress anybody. She's literally just trying to be herself.
Yeah.
And this was after her split from Eddie and the whole cheating thing happened. Mm-hmm. And I was literally like in bed watching TV and I go, I'm going to be her best friend one day. And then, Ross and I were actually at some like sponsored event and I go, oh my God, there it is. There's Brandy. And it was right after, like, she had some Oscars thing, and Ross goes, you should dress her. And we just kind of, like, we have great chemistry together. Uh-huh. And I styled her second book cover, and I styled her for Housewives a couple times. I was on Housewives with her a couple times.
You get to meet a lot of interesting people.
Right.
I mean, I have a good friend, Allie Levine. I don't know if you know who she is. She's another celebrity stylist.
Okay.
And you guys get to meet such incredible fucking people. When you started dressing her, or when you got to be close to her or meet her, what did you think? Other than fanning over her and having your vision come into reality now, what's the first thing that goes through your mind?
I just think, like, fun. And actually really witty and really sweet. Extremely, extremely witty.
And how did the podcast come into play?
So, talk about manifesting shit again.
Yes. Let's do it.
In January, I went to Ross's drag brunch and I was not in a great place and I was with my friend Manolo. And Brandy goes, I just heard you guys broke up. She didn't know.
It was this January 2019.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I was talking to her and I was a little drunk. I go, I had been thinking about this. I go, there needs to be a podcast called A Girl and a Gay, because I think that relationship is very relatable and people get it. Like everyone knows the girl and a gay relationship. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to like March. She had a little bit of a falling out with her co-host and she goes, I might need a new co-host. And I go, I'm going to bring it. And I've been there for 2 months now, and I just kind of saw us doing that on a bigger scale, too.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Weird story. I was actually on an interview with a design company, right? And they were, like, showing me the store and stuff like that. And I go, you're James St. James from World of Wonder. He goes, yes. I style Ross Matthews. He goes, oh, my God, I have to come here. I'm buying stuff for DragCon because Ross always takes all the good looks first. And I go, that's my work. And I go, what about, because I'm always trying to create something. Uh-huh. I go, what about this Mr. Turk, in honor of my friend? He loved Drag Race. What about a Mr. Turk pop-up at DragCon? I go, I will manage it. I was like trying to really sell myself, and the managers and people were there. They're like, how did this guy know everybody? He goes, it would work. He goes, it would be sellable. People would want to do it. And he's like, here's the contact information. And I had just like been like 2 weeks in doing the podcast with Brandy. And I go, we should do a live podcast at DragCon. And then that's how it happened.
What did she say when you landed that?
She was just like, oh my God, I'm nervous. I go, I'm not.
Yeah. Congratulations. I met up with you. Not a lot of people know this. I don't tell my business on the podcast, even though it is mine. I don't talk about my clients or who I read. I did shout you out. But when I read you, well, it was a couple months ago?
It was before my birthday, so in December.
December.
Late December.
End of last year.
Uh-huh.
God, it just seems like yesterday. I wouldn't say that you were in a bad place. I think that you were just kind of figuring out things and kind of trying to get into the groove of stuff. You seemed a little bit down. Your energy's not the way it looks like now. You say that you've gained weight. I think that you lost weight. It wasn't that your aura was dim or anything like that. It was just, what's next, Chris? How do I find myself? Am I ever going to find myself in a position where I feel comfortable or in that groove again? Compared to what you're doing now and where you're at now, it's a completely different fucking person. And I was thinking about you on the way over here because I was going to do the podcast, and I always do readings with my guests here, and I was thinking, what's next for Salvador? What's coming up? I'll definitely get to all that good stuff in a second. Okay. But the first thing is coming into his own, realizing his individuality. I know that you know who you are as Salvador, aside from everything else, and you know who you are as a person here, but coming into a different era, a different time frame for you when it comes to your career and putting yourself out there. So your guides, angels, messengers, whatever it is that you choose to call them, are going to really do a number on your self-worth and holding you accountable for what it is that you're saying and putting out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So all these great opportunities are going to come into play, and I don't feel like it's going to be a playoff of Ross. God bless him. I don't feel like there's anything negative when it comes to him, but I feel like this is going to be all you. This is all showing the world what Salvador's capable of doing. He's not just a stylist with all this, you know, with a great creative flair, but there's so much more to him. So I cannot wait to see what you do in the future with yourself and where you're going with your brand. Because
right.
I really think this is the very, very beginning, the very tip of everything before it starts moving into a zone where you start to feel like yourself again.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I do. I always say, I've said for the past couple of months, I feel more of myself than I ever have been, which I find very interesting. I do remember when you did read me in December, you said there was like some grayness around me. And it just, when you just mentioned that, I'm like, oh my God, he did say that, which is interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was also being a big whore at the time.
I'm going to get to that because whore is my middle name. But what do you mean you were a whore? You were whoring around at that time? You were fucking around?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I was recently single. I'm like, I guess this is what, like, hey, it's Halloween. You're dressed like a bunny. I'm dressed like a bunny. You want to come home? You know what I mean?
You opened another door. I'm going to walk right through this.
Go ahead.
So after this breakup with Ross, you started to feel yourself again, or you wanted to get your feet wet again and kind of explore?
Probably just get my feet wet again. You know, just like.
Good for you, babe. Good for you.
Dating has. I actually was on Loveline yesterday asking this question. It's in a 10-year, in a decade span of time. Dating has changed so much. I'm just used to like going out to a bar, being charming, talking to someone, exchanging a phone number, making out with them. And the next day I'm like, hey, do you want to go to the Broad Museum and go to happy hour? Mm-hmm. You know, I do the same thing now. It's so funny that people don't have follow through now. I was just like, wait, I thought we had great chemistry.
Okay, so this is good to know because I've been talking about this for me as well, as far as like talking about getting myself out there, getting my feet wet again. And I'm always so, I hate the dating scene. If it was up to me, it would be kind of like, hey, how are you? We want to fuck? Let's go.
That is so funny.
It doesn't do, it's not like that anymore. So I'm really hesitant to go in there and do me again. It's not that I'm afraid of rejection. It's the whole cat and mouse fucking game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you're doing that now. Yeah. You're feeling yourself. So
I love the follow through. So I'm like, okay, my ideal probably date would be like, go to the Broad Museum, take the train from here to downtown, go to the Broad Museum, go to Happy Hour, go, let's go to Grand Central Market and have like a great tapas lunch or something fun like that. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if it's a gay men thing that just get intimidated by that. They're just like, oh, it's a lot. I'm like, I'm not asking your hand in marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, I want to get to know you as a person. And I think that's pretty normal.
To spend the day with somebody, getting to know them, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 So are you seeing anybody?
No. No luck. No follow through.
Still?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that show on Netflix called Dating Around? Which I'm obsessed.
No, not yet. Not yet.
I'm obsessed. I sit on that couch and I go, I'm dating right now because it's so great. And I'm like, why am I not on this? It's literally like one person that goes on 5 dates throughout the course of the week. It's done like a movie.
Okay.
And the backdrop's beautiful. They choose all these different men and women and looks very much like New York City.
Okay.
Because it is, but it's done in a cinematic way. So the dates are progressive. So they all like, they all start with cocktails and it's like one guy's like the protagonist, the main guy, girl, gay, lesbian, whatever. Uh-huh. And then they just, they're like cocktails, dinner. So, and you see the chemistry between the people and you don't see the chemistry between some people.
Okay.
And then the main person would say like after dinner drinks, and then there's after dinner drinks or a ride home.
So the ride home is forget about you.
Yeah.
And the after dinner drinks is let's do something else
but,
with this.
Yeah. But okay. The follow up is like a day date.
Okay.
Which is like I always try to do, which is like a day date. So it's like he's waiting with his tea, like two things of coffee or tea. And you're like, who's going to show up? Who did he choose to go or who did she choose to go on the next date with?
Okay. Okay.
And I was just like, I kind of want that life. Like, why is that not happening?
How do we get on this show? That's what I want to know.
I tweeted it.
Let me call Runa up and see if I can get us on the show because it sounds perfect. Okay, so I'm going to steal from you. I want that right now. I want to definitely start dating around again, getting my feet wet, introducing myself to different people.
Right.
But at the same time, again, I'm going to separate myself from you. I don't think I have the patience that you do. One, because I'm a psychic.
Yeah.
And I tend to look past, and I'm trying to do a better job of not doing it, but I'll look at somebody, I'll know instantly, okay, here's how this is going to play out. This is what's going to happen here. I got to remove myself from that and just go on the date. Who cares? There's always a lesson to be learned when it comes to that person here. I think that you're probably going to date around faster than I am.
I mean, I try. I mean, like, I go to the happy hours with my friends and stuff.
See, you're doing shit like that.
Yeah. Okay, well, because I think I love people. I love being social. Uh-huh. Like, I love that. So I'll talk to anybody. And the people I do connect with, which is funny, they're never from LA.
Okay.
They're always from New York, which is crazy interesting to me. There was this, I was at Gym Bar in West Hollywood with my friend Carlos, which we go a lot for like 2-for-1 happy hour, right?
Okay.
And it's early, so I can go home to bed early when it happens.
Uh-huh.
I go, God, that guy's adorable. And I always say when they look at you, I go, he's eye-fucking me right now.
I miss eye-fucking. Go on, tell me more. I'm living vicariously through you.
So, and Carlos goes, he is pretty adorable, right? And I go, yeah. So he walks, this older man's kind of harassing him. I'm like, he's so not into it. And like, I'm kind of watching and doing the play-by-play. I go, he's not into it. I'm like, I don't know. I usually approach it. Go, I don't know if I really want to approach. And then I go, beer. Like, I just wave over. He goes, let me bring my beer. Mm-hmm. I go, how are you? I go, you look so cute. And he goes,
you're bold like that?
Yeah.
Fuck yes. Go on, go on, go on.
I go, you look so cute. He goes, I just had an interview with Seth Rogen's production company. He goes, I shouldn't have dressed up. It's Seth Rogen. And I go, where are you from? So we started talking and stuff like that. And I just love, like, he goes, I'm from New York. I go, of course, this is why I'm getting along with you, which is so weird because he was just so, not real abrasive, but just like a real person about who he is.
More down to earth and more relatable than the LA dating scene.
Yes. Yeah, which everyone kind of, no offense, looks like a clone of each other.
Right.
And I was just like, oh my God, he's like adorable. He goes, I came here to get like this job. And he's like, I'm sleeping on a friend's couch. And he goes, I got to get my shit together. I'm like, but I just love that he kind of said that. So I did text him next day and I go, you want to go to brunch? Never heard back.
Well, at least you put yourself out there.
Oh, always.
So again, open the door. I'm going to come right through it. What type of guys are you into? Like, what's the look for you? What are you looking for?
Like physically?
Physically and physically.
Oh, that's easy. Because I auditioned for this other like dating show that never called me back. I always say tall, dark, and handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I believe it or not, I've never been with another Latino guy. That'd be great. Or Middle Eastern.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All white guys?
White men love me. white men from Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, love me. Which is
interesting. See, they wanted to hang me in the Pacific Northwest, and you're getting dick from the Pacific Northwest.
It's so funny. Side note, I went to this cocktail party on Friday, like this hangout thing, and I was like, oh, that guy's cute. I'm like, oh, okay, he's a white guy. And he goes, oh, I'm from Tacoma, Washington, and just like vibes the whole time. And I was just like, they're always from up there.
But at least you're getting attention, though. So, okay, so Latin, Middle Eastern. What else?
Like spontaneous, free spirited. I always say kind of has their shit together because no one really has their shit together fully. Yeah. Same for me. Kind. Doesn't take life too seriously.
Do you like them older or younger?
God, I know. Around the same age. I mean, like, there's some young guys that go, they're cute. And my friend Carlos goes, he's 12. And I go, probably not a great thing. Not literally 12, but you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. Well, here's my thing. I used to like them young, definitely of age, you know, 21 and over. Obviously, they're old enough to drink. It's good for me. What? Because back then, they didn't ask a lot of questions. They just wanted to fuck and get it over with. They weren't, like, clingy.
Right.
You know, you date older guys or guys that are your same age, and they want more than you're willing to give them right now. Well, at least that's how I was back then.
Right.
So I'm teetering on whether or not I want them a couple of years younger, or I want to go same age or a couple of years older.
Yeah, I don't know if age really matters, but
what if you found yourself a nice 24-year-old?
Great, if there's a maturity level there, sure. Like,
I love you. Thank God. Do you hear this, Jay? Thank God for somebody like you, because I get shitted on all the time. But they're like, that's too young. I'm like, well, what if they have their shit together and they got a strong mind and they're in a good zone?
Yeah.
What difference does it make?
Or at least they're trying to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
What I can tell you what I don't like.
Let's hear it.
Is, and I've been hanging around a lot of like gay couples, like making friends, right?
Yeah.
And I've noticed these couples, there's always one that's more controlling. One's a super free-spirited, fun, yeah, let's go dance. And one's just like, and I, you know what I say now? Thank God I'm single. I watch the shit show happen between these couples, and I go, I just drink my drink, and I go, thank God I'm single.
Oh, God. So definitely someone along the lines of who you are.
Yeah, and okay. Like worldly, too, because I did go on, I've been on like one official date in the past 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Maybe like two, but one, and it was with a 25-year-old, and he grew up here in Los Angeles, but he had never been to where I live, like this part of town.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I've never been here. I'm like, how could you not be on?
He's from here?
Uh-huh. Like, from L.A. He goes, uh-huh. I just don't. I'm like, you grew up here. Like, if I grew up here, I would try to explore every piece of this city.
I know all of Southern California.
Right.
The Valley, L.A., West L.A., yeah. Downtown, all of it.
So I was so, like, thrown. I was like, oh, my God, you're not worldly at all in terms of even here locally. Could uh-huh. you imagine going to another country? You know what I mean? Like, going to another country with that person or something like that.
Would you like a power couple type of mentality? Would you like someone that's in a position of power, not in the relationship, but just in a career type of thing? Somebody that's, again, higher up or maybe on the same playing field as you?
Maybe. I mean, honestly, I'm open to anybody, but I'm also like, I don't want anyone that's like controlling or like you've had too much of this or that or whatever.
Let me fucking be. Yeah.
Yes, let me be great, uh-huh. You know? And if this is my night to let loose, let me let loose.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that with couples all the time recently.
And that's their biggest downfall, too, is that they get involved in a relationship where they have somebody suppressing them or restricting them from being them.
Right.
And there's always that resentment that comes into play afterward.
Right.
Because I've been in that type of relationship before.
And it's funny. So I've been hanging out with these couples, and they're like, the one that's like more like me, we always end up hanging out and connecting, and the other ones get a little bit somewhat competitive uh-huh. about it. And I'm just like, I ain't trying to do anything. I'm just trying to be myself. I'm sorry if they're like, that guy's fun.
Well, see, I'm such a bitch. I'd say, I'm sorry that I'm much more interesting than you are. So good for you that you're out there dating. You're doing you. You're not afraid to put yourself out there. I'm barely coming into myself. I have a couple more pounds to lose before I throw myself out there completely. But you're doing it, though. You're going after what it is that you want. And again, your energy, your aura, it's not 100% back to the way that it was before. I didn't know you before all the trauma and all the bullshit happened.
Right.
But you look a little bit lighter. And again, I'm going to fight you on this one. I think that you lost more weight. You say you've gained 5 pounds.
Yeah.
You, let me tell you something. Again, when I read you before, there was just, again, that bit of, like, downness to you. But I feel personally, in what your guides are saying and the energy that I'm getting from you now, is that you are going to start to transition, not into a woman, but into who you truly are coming around. And I feel like this coming June, towards the end of June, I don't know what you have planned, but there's going to be some sort of shift and or change. There's going to be some opportunity coming into play. I cannot wait to see what it is, because I feel like you deserve it. And I feel like things have been difficult for you. There's been obviously a lot of endings, a lot of passings, a lot of horrible shit that you've had to deal with. But I feel like really it's pushing you out to be a little bit more independent, having to take care of yourself, getting back to what matters the most. I'm not saying that you should not care about your mom or your friends or anybody that you were in a relationship with that you got, you know, that's no longer there. But this is forcing you to take a good look at who Salvador is. What is my legacy? Who am I? What am I doing here? What am I? What's my path? Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, totally.
And I feel like you're going to come into it.
Yeah.
I don't see anything horrible here in your future that's going to take away from you. I do see a lot of lessons coming into play, but I don't think that you would ever put yourself in a position to lose or to fuck yourself over.
Yeah.
You may do that with men, but as far as like, right. You know, I'm just joking, but as far as like career and like your life path here, I think that you're in a whole, you're starting to become, not there yet, but you're going to start to get in a whole different headspace as far as like what I want to do,
right?
Where I want to go here, and start looking at other opportunities. I don't know what's coming up for you with your living situation here. This is a beautiful place here. Right. I don't see you being here permanently. What is up with work on the East Coast? Are you going to go do anything over there?
Not yet. I mean, I've been wanting this job for the past 6 months, which is so funny. And
is it on the East Coast?
It's actually on the West Coast, but there's so much opportunity.
Okay.
And it was a recruiter.
Okay.
Literally when the breakup happened, my friend Jonathan passed away. I was in the car doing a phone interview. And I was like, this is perfect timing. This is how the universe is going to work. I'm going to get this job with this really high-end company. I'm moving to a new place. This is all about new beginnings, right? Uh-huh. You have to have a rain to have a rainbow. So I'm like, this is the rainbow starting. Oh my God, this is how it's supposed to be. So of course, holidays go through. That's like when you saw me. Uh-huh. And I never heard back from this like 24-year-old recruiter who's just like loved me and my design sense in this. And I was just like, what am I doing? Follow-up emails. Never heard back, right? So I reached out to my friend who works for this company. And he goes, let me send it a month later. This is March, so April. Month later, I get a call from a new recruiter. I go, I did this 6 months ago with a certain person. They're like, she's no longer with us. And I was just like, God damn it. She could kind of fuck me over, right?
Yeah.
But I recently just had an interview with them. And I felt a little like everyone was younger than me and less experienced. So I felt very extra because I brought my stacks of magazines I've been featured in, my stylist portfolio, and this and that.
When it comes to you, I didn't mean to cut you off, but when it comes to you as Salvador, because again, first and foremost, I am a fan. I love everything that you do. Do you know who you are, your identity when it comes to that? Do you appreciate who you are at the end of the day with all your work? So when you take it in there, I'm not saying that you should come from a place of ego, but
right.
Does that really do a number on your way of thinking, kind of bringing you back to, oh my God, I can't believe that I styled this person, did that, was featured on this, blah, blah, blah. Do you take that in there with you? Are you proud of that?
Yes, I am. And like, one question they asked me, they're like, what's been your biggest achievement? And I go, I'll show you my wardrobe stylist portfolio. And they're like, we don't have time. So I go, it's been the past 10 years of work that I've done as a stylist on carpets, on this, that. And they're like, oh, I go, but if you want to see my portfolio, you can visit my website. So I do take that. I know what my value is. I know what I have to offer. So, yeah.
I really want that to haunt you. If there's anything that I want to do when it comes to manipulation, and I'm going to be honest here, is I want to manipulate your mind into thinking who you are at the end of the day. Because I think that you, again, as much as you want to say that you're a normal everyday person that lives in a normal everyday fucking place in the valley or whatever, you're not. I don't care what, I'm sorry, I just don't think of you that way. And I think that your work and your legacy and what you built, and again, it sounds like I'm kissing your ass, and I'm not. I just think it speaks volumes of who you are. You're ethnic, you're gay, you're incredibly talented and creative here. I want you to fucking own that when you walk into a place. And I don't want you ever to have that, you know, I know this is probably not where your head is at, but I want you to remember who you are, and not that you were just Ross Matthews' ex-boyfriend.
Oh yeah,
there's so much more to you than just that. So. I mean, like I said, this coming June, I really feel like there's going to be some opportunity because of the hard work and the mental change that you're going through here that's going to open up a new door for you.
Right.
So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. Well, because I've honestly, in the past year and a half, I've had so many interviews and they're just like, we don't know what to do with him. Plus, we probably can't pay them that much. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this is the perfect fit for me that I don't want to lose it. And I'm like, I keep on saying I'm going to get that job. And funny thing is, Chris, I have these visions of me having a little Spanish bungalow in the middle of the city in like a year and a half.
You manifested two great things so far, this podcast and Brandy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then you're envisioning stuff like that. I don't want you to lose sight of that. I want you to go after it, too. Talking about missing out on opportunities, your luck, mark my words, is going to be, you're probably going to get this, and then you're probably going to get offered something else that's a little bit more mainstream, just in order for you to realize at the end of the day, not to settle.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Then, and it's funny because there's two things going on. There's that job, and then there's something I can't.
Don't. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you later.
Okay. Perfect.
And I'm just like, I told my friend Carlos, I go, what if this fucking shit happens at the same time? Like this job that I really want.
Look at that. Goosebumps.
And Carlos goes, that's going to be a rough decision. I go, yeah. Cause what do I do? But we'll see. I mean, Time's a ticking.
Well, I can't wait to discuss it after the show.
Yeah.
I'll probably tell you guys about that some other time, but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's probably going to be your luck, where you're going to get offered two different things here, and you're going to have to make up your mind just to reinforce who you are here, because at the end of the day, I don't want to capitalize on your mother's death and bring all that stuff in there.
Right.
I'm definitely a medium, and I can do that, but I feel like it's important for her and for you to get you where you need to be, not only career-wise, but mentally as well, and to have that mental piece of that you're looking for.
Right.
So I can't wait.
And it's more about the stability for me now. Uh-huh. Like, that's why I'm telling you, for the past like 3 weeks, I go, I don't know why this little Spanish bungalow keeps on popping in my head, that I'm going to have friends over and wine in the backyard and we're going to make carne asada and watch movies back there. But I'm like
a Los Feliz type of vibe?
Yeah.
Good for you. Fucking A. Okay.
Because I've always loved that neighborhood too. But I go, uh-huh, I'm going to have like Los Feliz, Silver Lake. I've always been that kind of a guy.
Me too. Uh-huh.
So I go, I'm going to have a little bungalow there. And like, a year and a half, 3 years, for some reason. And then I go, I'm going to have this life where I'm just happy there. And I go on vacation with my friends, and my friends come over, and this is just how it rolls.
You're just looking, like you said, for that stability, for just that kind of like, I don't want to have to worry anymore. Not that you don't want to worry for the rest of your life here, but throw me a break, guys. Give me a break. Give me something that I can bank on just for a little bit here.
Right.
And I feel like that's coming for you. Either way you slice or dice it, it's going to be June. There's going to be some change coming in June for you.
Hopefully.
No, not hopefully. We're going to take that out of there. We're gonna for sure, because you are feeling it too.
Yeah.
So now you're working with Brandy. You got the podcast going on. There's two things in the works for you, which I'm dying to see which one comes first and how you're going to handle it.
Right.
But it seems like, again, you're back, not fully on track, but you're getting there.
Yeah.
You're doing you.
Yeah.
So in an ideal situation, what do you see yourself doing before the end of the year?
Oh my God, just like, I know I'm not going to be in this place forever. Just but the next place I'm going to be in, I'm like, this feels like me. And I know that. Mm-hmm. And every day this month I've been waking up, or even last month, I should say, because it's been short so far. Mm-hmm. I'm like, something's coming. I can feel it in my chest. I go, something big is about to happen. Every day, Chris, I say that. I'm driving and I go, something big's coming. Something's coming, and I can't figure out what it is.
As long as you know, this is where I tell people, stop. As soon as you know that something good is coming, don't focus so much on what it's going to be. Start preparing yourself for that good thing to come in.
Right.
Don't bring any excess baggage in there with you. Make sure your thinking is clear, that you're focused on that new thing coming in, new opportunities, a new way of life, new everything for you. Do not get caught up on what is it going to be or whatever.
Right.
Just focus on that good feeling and start cleansing yourself. When I'm talking about cleansing, I'm talking about clearing your mental, making sure that your space is clear too, that you've gotten rid of any old feelings or any old ways of thinking that you don't want to bring with you into your future. And I always tell people, don't taint a clean slate after it's been given to you.
Right.
Because your guides, angels, and messengers, again, whether you choose to believe it or not, are really looking out for you. You've had a pretty blessed life.
Yeah.
To be able to bounce back and forth here. Of course, there's been some hardship. There's been some loss and all kinds of other bullshit. It's not in your cards or in your life path for you to lose here. I think it's getting you to realize your worth and who you are at the end of the day, and getting that strength and that courage to go out there and fucking seize it, because you have the personality for it. You're very, very fucking charming. And you, like you said, you can talk to anybody here. I want to see that go further here. And I don't think that, obviously, it's not going to be the end all be all with Brandy here, but I have a feeling there's going to be, like you said, there's going to be more changes coming into that are going to, with the show, that are going to be very popular here. But I feel like you're going to branch off and start to do your own thing as well too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ready for it, because I do literally feel it in my chest every morning. I'm like, something's coming, and I can't. Not that I want to figure out what it is, because I do like knowing the unknown.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, I'm ready. Like, I'm like, let's do this. And I think I'm more impatient more than anything. And I'm like, when do I get that phone call about this job? When it's going to come? I'm waiting for it. You know? Right.
So going through all this stuff here, what would you say has been the biggest lesson for you? What do you feel like your guides are getting you to focus on the most?
Oh my God. Just be more independent, more myself, trying to like really get back to like what the center of me is as a person. I think that's it. Cause you know, I talked to my friend Christine and she goes, it's a relearning. You hadn't been by yourself for a decade. And yeah. It's true. It is a relearning.
And so much shit has changed over the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Nothing is the same anymore.
No.
So you're being reintroduced almost to a brand new world.
Yeah.
And starting all over again.
Yeah.
But it's exciting.
It is exciting.
It's good. Good. Have that attitude. Have that mentality here. I want to get to the juicy stuff here because I want people to know who you are and really feel like I vibed with you and got all the good juicy shit out of you here. As far as like your dating life and when it comes to that here in long term, are you the kind of gay guy that wants to get married?
I don't know now. I'm just honestly, I'm like, yeah, no, whatever. It doesn't really, it's not a hard no or a hard pass. It's not a hard yes. It's just like, if it happens, if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking whether or not I would want to get married or have a long-term relationship. And again, I'm kind of on the fence when it comes to it. All I know is that I've changed. I've grown. The type of relationship that I want is more, again, more stability, more real, more honest, no more... Because I used to cheat. I don't know about you. Well, I don't know. I don't want to open that kind of war. But yeah, I never was one to be in a relationship and be committed.
Okay.
Because of fear of rejection or abandonment. So I always sought out different types of attention, and that's always my luck. As soon as I get involved in a relationship, that's where all the attention starts to come into play. More guys starting to look at me, more people wanting my attention, and I'm in a relationship and I can't give it to them, but I always succumb to it. I don't want to do that this time around.
Interesting.
So you were never a cheater?
No.
Wow.
No. Yeah. I'm just,
that's such a horrible thing to say, but that's who I am. And maybe that's my karma. I always tell people, maybe that's why I'm not in a relationship right now, because I have to learn how to appreciate the relationship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, be grateful for it. I think I'm always been naturally flirty. Mm-hmm. And even my friend Miguel, we're just legit friends. I go, you know, I'm naturally flirty. He goes, yes, you are. Ever since day one I met you, you're just, I don't do it on purpose. I think it's just who I am. And I start talking to people and I'm like, oh, there's a thing here. With him, you're going to like this weird trippy story.
Okay.
He was with his boyfriend at the time and he went to brunch. He goes, I want to see you. So he came over here. We went out to Trunks because I love me some Trunks, the cheap pours.
Uh-huh.
We went out, we had drinks, right?
And
we literally were just like talking, and I wear my mom's bracelet every day with it, which is this gold one, right? Mm-hmm. It's got a lobster clasp on it, which you really have to unclasp it for it to come off.
No, oh, jeez.
I'm talking to Miguel literally like this. The bracelet falls on the floor.
Holy shit.
And Miguel goes, let me put it on for you. And I go, that never happens. I go, she likes him.
Ooh.
I'm like, she likes him. She approves. I was just like,
we'll have to look at pictures after this episode.
I'm like, he's got a boyfriend. Da 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 da. It's interesting though,
in
right?
Latin.
Uh huh.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, which is I was like, what? But he just, you know, he broke up with his boyfriend and stuff. When we talk all the time, I'm going, listen, this is what's gonna happen. You go and feel how you want to feel. Go through the grief. You know, it's interesting. It's just,
and I'll be here waiting to lick your wounds when you're done.
But not even that. That has never happened.
Fuck. Yeah, I'm looking at it now and it looks pretty secure.
Yeah. But that's what I thought right away. I go, she likes him.
So where is he now?
Oh, he lives in another state.
Well, I mean, like I said, you're ready for it. That energy's coming around. It's always whenever you're in the middle of a transition or you're shifting energy or evolving as a person here, there's always little signs or confirmations that your guides throw out there to tell you of what's to come.
Right.
So there's probably going to be somebody that comes in that, whether if it's him or not, that triggers something in you or confirms what it is that you're feeling about that person.
Right. It's crazy, right?
Very interesting.
And that was like 2 months ago. And I was just like, that never happens, because
looking at it right now, it doesn't look like it comes off that easily.
No, I've never taken it off for the fact that it would just fall on the floor like that.
Oh wow.
And for him to go, let me put it back on for you, and I'm like, I go that's my mom's, it never falls off.
So it's been pinned on since he pinned it back on.
Uh-huh. Some weird universe shit.
Yeah. I have a huge question for you, and I know a lot of people are going to want to know this. Nobody in the industry, out of all the years that you were doing it, any type of like...
Not that I know them, but I can tell you I have a crush on that I've never met.
Who?
Oh, so there's this cute guy that works at BuzzFeed. Never met him. I think he's adorable. Okay. His name's Christian Zamora.
Okay.
I'm not shy about it on my Instagram. She's probably not interested, though. But I'm like, it's great. He's beautiful. And obviously, like, Anthony from Queer Eye, I think, is adorable, too.
That's the one that... Wait a minute. He's the food in...
Mm-hmm.
He is so... I just saw an episode. My friend Michelle wanted me to watch the very first episode of that, and I fell in love with him.
My friend Kelly gave me that plant right there, and I named it... I go, it's my new boyfriend, Christian Anthony. Anthony.
Oh, good for you. Manifest. Manifest. Yeah. So... Nobody juicy in the entertainment industry? Nobody flirted with you out of the norm or any type of...
Oh, okay, I can tell you this story.
Yes, please.
I was at a really... I told this on the podcast Brandy and I do a couple weeks ago. So I was at a really fancy Christmas party. Not fancy in terms of like the... It was like being at the Golden Globes.
Okay.
But not that, but it's at someone's house. And remember when Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani were together?
Yep.
Gavin Rossdale comes up to Ross and I, more me.
Shut up.
And is like, what's your name? I can't do a British accent, but he was just like, what's your name? And I go, Salvador. He goes, Gwen, come here, Gwen. This is Salvador, beautiful. Come here. We should name our next child Salvador. And I go, is he hitting on me? Because this is real close right now. And Gwen Stefani just kind of shrunk. Like, you know, super confident, successful woman would just kind of went like this inside.
Because she knew.
Okay. Well, and then, like... I guess he's bisexual or has, like, these bisexual rumors or dated men
before. Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, my God, I think he... I went home and, like, Googled, and I'm like, oh, my God, I think he really was hitting on me. That's, the one thing.
He's so fucking hot, too.
I'm like, Gavin Rossdale hit on me, guys. Which is every girl I went to high school with is crush.
Uh-huh.
So it was... That's just funny to me.
And Gwen looked like, you fucker.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Isn't that funny? Because you think she's a badass, and she is, like, powerful woman and this, that, and successful. But I'm like, to see a woman that powerful just, like, shrink, I was just like, oh, my God. Wow.
So nothing came out of it?
No,
it was
no.
Just a quick conversation, and that was
it was just very, like, the chemistry. Okay. And, like, the fact, like, we should name our baby that. I'm like,
So he just approached you out of nowhere.
Well, it's like one of those cocktail parties where you walk around and everyone talks to kind of everybody. Uh-huh. And he's like, oh, I know.
But he made it a point to come up to you and talk to you?
Both of us. And then it just kind of shifted that way.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I don't know what I would have done. I would have been like, whatever you want my name to be is what it is. Yeah, he's so cute.
I just like smiled and I'm like, great. And then
was it awkward afterward when Gwen was just kind of like shrieking there?
No, they left. They're like, we got to go now.
Fuck. That's probably why I'm not mingling around a lot with the celebrities, because I would probably try to fuck everything in sight. I'm going to be honest with you.
That is
so
funny.
I don't think that I would have that much control like you do.
Well, I was also in a relationship at the time, so.
Remember, I cheat. So that wouldn't have been an issue for me. I would have been like, whatever.
But I'm not really like that. Like I said, like, if it's some just cool person, I'm like, oh my God, they're real cute. I don't know. But I think I've noticed, so I was at this kind of cocktail party, like I mentioned earlier, on Friday. Saturday. And I go, all the gay guys, I was talking to the one of the two straight women that were there. I go, see, all the gay guys are together. And she goes, Sal, you have a presence about you. You just got to use it.
See, I need a co-pilot like you. I need to go out with you where, again, I don't mind you doing you because you'll bring the attention to us.
Right.
But I need somebody that's outspoken like that, that's outgoing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do it on my own. But it's always fun to see somebody else do it.
I'm very old school where I do like going up to people, like, and I've learned that life is too short, obviously. Like, if someone has a great haircut, like, I'm like, I love your hair. I tell them flat out, or like, so I'm like, you look really chic today. And this one woman the other day that I was walking by next to or by to, she goes, I wasn't even going for that. I go, but you look great. So I had to tell you. Like, I'm very much that person, especially when it comes to like bars or like, I'll sit and talk to a guy for a while. I go, you know what? You're adorable. Does anyone ever tell you that? And I think in the gay community, we're so closed off that we don't lift each other up like that.
Well, here's my thing. I'm going to be straight up with you. And I've said this before on my own, to my own audience here, is that I've only dated one gay guy my entire life. I've usually turned them out.
Okay.
And Jay is like, well, they're not straight if they're messing with you. And I'm like, well, I was always there first. So I don't typically go after gay guys because of just what you said. It's difficult.
Right.
It really is shitty sometimes because you're on guard and everyone thinks that you're, you know, it's all about looks or about power plays and all that other shit too. So I find it intimidating to go out there and meet another gay guy. You're not, though.
No, no. Yeah. And I always say, there's what I've learned so far in just observing people, not just the gay community, everywhere. I go, people are just plagued with so much insecurity that it really does kind of follow through in who your being is. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go out. Good story. Last week, if I don't leave the house by 9 for a drink, I'm not going anywhere. Okay. So I was on that couch watching Gina Rodriguez's new movie called Something Special, Something Different, Something Something.
Yeah,
on Netflix. And I was like, oh my God, she in that movie breaks up with her boyfriend, or they break up after 9 years. And I'm like, oh my God, story of my life, watching.
You're on confirmation.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And she's like me the first 3 months, she's walking around with a bottle of tequila, like, I'm going to move and let's just go party, right? So I'm sitting there and I was like, at the end, I was like crying because I'm like, I get it, girl, I get it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I don't have to work tomorrow. I look at the clock. It's 11:30 at night. And I go, I live right down the street from a gay bar.
Which one is it?
Bullet.
Okay.
If you want to go.
Okay.
Happy hour till 8. I'm just saying.
What time is it? We got a half an hour. Yeah, okay.
So I was sitting there and I go, what the fuck am I doing? Just like in my shorts or whatever. And I go, I should be out there. I told myself, I should be out there living life and see what happens. Got up. Because when I go to Bullet, I usually go like at 3 or 5 or like after work and just like chill. And I walked in at 11:30 at night. I'm like, oh my God, everyone's younger. And everyone's kind of cute. And I just kind of just enjoyed myself out there.
You went by yourself?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Jesus, I gotta steal a page out of your fucking playbook. So you go and do this shit on your own.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, there's no fucking way. It's not that I'm afraid. Maybe I am. I can just get a little bit nervous. I need someone, not that I need someone there to vibe with all the time, but going on a mission like that where there's a potential possibility of coming back with some dick frightens me just a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, but you are fucking A, good for you.
I mean, I did it for Halloween, so I was like, walked down to the Bullet. I go, I'm not going to do anything. I'm tired. And I'm like, what the fuck? You love Halloween. Go celebrate. So I did.
Do something.
And I brought someone home. Same thing for Valentine's Day. So if you didn't know, I...
Wait a minute. We're not glazing over that.
Yeah.
So you're... I don't want to put your business out there.
No, go ahead.
Another door. I'm going to walk right through it. So you're fucking...
I mean, I'm in a dry spell now.
Okay.
Which kind of sucks.
But you've had sex after this breakup.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Fuck, I love you already. Good for you.
I'm human.
God damn, I'm human too, but it's been forever. So you went out there, landed somebody, brought them home all on your own.
Yeah. I literally was still kind of moving in, and there was boxes and stuff everywhere. And it's so funny. Every time I bring a guy here, they never want to fucking leave. And I'm
everything's so comfortable here.
I know, but
it's
I'm
so
just
inviting.
Like, I'm like, okay, you can't wait. I'm like, and the ones that I do want, like, let's go to brunch across the street because there's this little great place across the street called the Federal. And they're just like, oh, they get all scared. And they're like, oh, I'm just going to go home. I'm like, okay, it's interesting. I can't find the right spontaneous kind of match.
Is it because they don't want to do the whole gay thing, or they don't want to do a relationship type thing?
I don't know. I'm not them. I don't know. I just kind of want to go with the flow and just like, this sounds fun. Let's go do that. Trust me, I'm so used to rejection after job interviews and like dating and asking guys to brunch. I'm like, all right.
Asking guys. What's your sign again?
I'm half Sagittarius, half Capricorn.
Fucking A. Okay.
So, yeah.
And what was your moon in? Did I tell you what it was?
I don't remember.
I'll have to look it up, all that shit later. I am so honored to have you on the show and just to have your energy on here and just lighting everything up. You always, even the last time, even though your energy was a little bit low and it wasn't as high as it is now, I walked away from that meeting with you feeling good. You definitely give people good energy and good vibes. I want you to start realizing that. Your eyes always tell your story, and I'd like to see your eyes be just a little bit more brighter and a little bit more open. There's a lot of, again, I don't want to drudge up old shit, but there's a lot of pain and a lot of still
muck
raw there.
Yeah.
Start healing that, my love, because you've got a fabulous outlook. You are a very, very down-to-earth, good fucking person here that I cannot wait to see what they do with themselves in the future here. I really feel like this coming June, mark my words, there's going to be some sort of shift or change here. I can't wait to see you take full advantage of it and be where you need to be because you did it. Not because you had the help of anybody else.
Right.
Because you realized what your weaknesses and your strength were and you went fucking for it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm ready.
So how can we get a hold of you? Tell us everything about the show, where we can find you, what's next for you, just everything Salvador right now.
Okay, so you can find the show Brandy Glanville Unfiltered on anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever. A new episode drops every Friday. And then, like I said, we're going to be at RuPaul's Drag Con on Saturday, and we're going to do... It's her first live podcast, my first live podcast, and I'm so excited to like connect with the audience out there. And then we're going to do a 2-hour signing afterward. I'm trying to nail down some really good surprise guests. Really good. And then you can just find me on social media at Stylist Salvador on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And visit my website if you want to give me a job at salvadorcamarena.com.
anybody out there looking to hire a true talent, looking to have somebody kind of create the vision that they're looking for, I am going to tell you right now that person is Salvador. Please check him out. See what he's all about. Give him a shot here. You will not be fucking sorry. Before he is too fucking busy to do anything, probably so fucking busy that I won't see you for a while. And I pray for that for you. Okay. Because you deserve it.
But I'll always come and do a follow-up.
I hope so.
Yes.
My love, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your amazing self with us, your story and all about you. We definitely have to do a part two.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing your gift with me, too. It means a lot.
No problem. I am always here for you. You fucking know that. You guys, this is Chris Medina with the creative, the beautiful, the mastermind, the everything, Salvador Camarena, signing off.
Bye.